Welcome back to the Shepherd's Pie, a slice of faith for our messy lives. I'm Tony Kolenc, a speaker, law professor, and the author of inspirational fiction for teens and adults. On that note, I'm excited about the upcoming release of book two in my Incarnate series. The cover was recently released. It's called Begotten, and it continues to follow the supernatural thrilling storyline from a Christian perspective, though, of a young man who finds out that he very well might be the clone of Jesus. Kind of a shocking, diabolical theme going on here, but it's part of a trilogy from Chrism Press. Book two comes out in February. But today I'll be speaking with Mindy Baker about how we can teach our kids values through the read, discuss, do method. My guest today is Mindy Baker. Her most recent book is called Soledad and the Curse of the Phoenix. Mindy writes character-driven picture books with read-aloud potential. She also writes middle grade novels and devotional material for all ages. She's also very involved in the Read, Discuss, Do method, which we'll be talking about today. And she resides in Indiana with her husband, where she teaches high school Spanish. And so, Mindy, you've been on the show, but it's been a long time ago, so it's great to have you back on the Shepherd's Pie.
Thanks, Tony. I'm happy to be here and excited to talk with you today.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit again about how you went from being a high school Spanish teacher to a published author now with several books to your credit.
Sure. Well, even before I went back to teaching, I stayed at home with my kids for 12 years. And that is the time when I decided I wanted to try a new hobby. So I took some writing classes, which led to the publication of my first book, which is Mouse's Christmas Gift. And I was on before chatting with you about that. And then in order to have a second published book, it seemed like I needed to change genres. So around 2020, I switched genres and I took some more writing classes. And that has led to this project, and I'm really proud of the final product. But in that time, then I did go back to teaching, and I've been teaching high school Spanish and then writing on the side.
It strikes me that this book definitely has sort of a Latin American flavor to it, even though I know it's set in a fantasy environment or world. Does your Spanish teaching background have anything to do with your choice to kind of set the book with kind of this Latin American flavor to it?
Yes, it sure does. This is definitely a Mesoamerican feel, and the world is one of my own creation. But I did a lot of research into Peru, and one of the things that I teach about in a unit is the Mayans, the Aztecs, and the Incans. And so this one in Peru, of course, is the Incans, but this culture is just something that I made up myself. But a lot of the plants that are described, the food that is described, and even, like, for example, Mount Gocta is an actual place in Peru. And then Suri, the llama friend, of course, llamas are in Peru. So all of that is definitely a direct result of my teaching and something that I wanted to put into the storyline.
All right. So maybe explain, why did you decide, let's say, not to just set it in Peru? Why do it as a fantasy at all?
Well, I think, I am not personally from Peru. And so I think I really was hesitant with the whole representation thing, that I wanted it to be my own creation. And I'm not speaking for any particular people group. I'm just making up a story that's fun for kids. But then the heart for me as an author is, not only do I want to tell a good story, but I want there to be something for the kids to think about, deeper layers. And so that's really what I was trying to do with this story, create something that is adventurous, fun, full of fantasy, but also has some different layers in it that are going to cause deep thinking and also the potential for discussion.
Great. Maybe tell us a little bit about kind of the premise of the book, what it's about, and what age range would actually be good to read this.
Sure. The age range is 8-year-olds to 12-year-olds, but I've even had some readers that have read it that said, hey, I'm a junior high English teacher, and I think this book could work, especially for students that are maybe They're not at the Lexile where they would be wanting a lot of pages. It has a little bit of artwork with each chapter, not a ton, but again, things that can help that junior high student. It would be interesting enough of a read for them, and a little bit easier read if they are maybe a struggling reader. And as far as the plot, in the story, Soledad's world has been cursed by the evil Phoenix. The book opens up with her fleeing for her life. And there's a good reason that she's fleeing from her sister and her mom, but she does still feel guilty for doing that. But it's a story of her journey. And along the way, she's going to work with her friend Marco to defeat the evil Phoenix, and restore her village once and for all. So, some of the fun elements in the story, there's a friendship with a llama. There are the three plagues that have been cursed, and there's also relationship betrayal and restitution. There's a special flute, there's a healing waterfall. So, there's all kinds of fun along the way and intriguing elements to keep the kids reading and wondering what's going to happen next.
Wonderful. Now, you went with Chicken Scratch Books. Is there anything really special about the way the publisher does business that attracted you to them?
They're only middle grade fiction, and they publish books that have values. That was something that appealed to me. And I just love that they choose a value to go with each book. And then they create both explore courses for the lower middle grade, and then they also have literature courses. So homeschooling families can pick up the Explorer course to go along with a book, and then they can do the book study as part of their curriculum. And the same with the literature courses, which are a little bit more in depth. So in the Explorer course, for example, Kiri is the main teacher. It comes with video segments that the child watches. And then it has some activities that the parents would do to talk about the plot, talk about the agency of the character, and to talk about those values. In my book, the value is determination. And then the fun thing at the end, I got to do some video content for the end of the course, in which I chose two different video segments, one with a former student of mine who raises llamas. And so we went out to a llama farm, and she showed me how to take care of a llama. And then I followed her to a county fair and watched her show her llama. And one of the events, you would love it, it was llama high jumping. And so they had a little pole that kept getting raised, and probably about 30 to 40 students with their llamas would run and jump over. It's a process of elimination. So that was just a really fun day. And then the second video that I did was tamale making. And so one of my former students and her mom came over to my house, and we did like a cooking demonstration of how to make tamales and sampled them. So that was also really fun. So within the Explorer course, the family would get all of the great content that goes along with the book, and then some fun with the author at the end with the videos of the llamas and the tamales.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I know that you yourself have personally been involved with kind of a whole movement, this Read, Discuss, Do. So maybe let's transition to that for a few minutes. What is Read, Discuss, Do about, and how did you get involved with that?
Sure. Well, the original creator of Read, Discuss, Do is an author named Rebecca Gomez, and she recruited me and several other authors to help her because she had the idea of expanding it. And the whole idea of it is that you read a book, whether it's a middle grade novel, or at first we were mainly focused on preschool material, picture books. So you read the book, and then you have some kind of a discussion. Can be very simple. The Bible talks about as you're walking along the pathway, you're always trying to bring up topics with your kids to help them mature and grow. And I think that was Rebecca's heart, is what are the things in these fun books that we can use to really open up discussions with our kids, and then doing an activity. So we have like book and snack posts, we have book with a fun game, book with a craft, and the idea is quality time with your kids. And that it's so easy to just set your child on their iPad or have them watching a video, or but really taking intentional time to spend with the child and then putting a theme to it. So, maybe you're going to be doing a theme of robots, or maybe you're going to do a theme of princesses. Usually, each month we have a different theme. We have summer reading programs. This year it was wild animals. So, we went every week and did a different animal, gave book lists for parents. Same thing with discussion questions and activity ideas. And then we always do a poetry month, a big push during poetry month, where we'll do a post almost every single day. I've been helping her for 4 years, and I think she was doing it before me and just by herself. And it's really been fun. And I know, and I offer a mini magazine once a month. That's just my own personal magazine, but it's kind of the same, along the same lines of these types of activities. And I've added a middle grade moment to mine because I want to expand into that middle grade audience and help parents do the same thing, but with a middle grade novel. Because let's face it, it's hard to read everything your kid's going to read. And what are some recommendations that I can give to point you to a book that maybe it does have a movie made from it, or maybe there is, something fun that you and your middle grader could do together that would go along with that book?
Wow, so this is actually then like a website that is available to the public. Is it behind a paywall or how does that work?
Nope, it's all free. And right now we have a website, readdiscussdo.com. We have a Substack, which we've really been emphasizing the Substack recently. And then the mini magazine, they could join that off of my website, and that's also free content. My mini magazine comes out once a month, so it kind of is all interrelated, but nothing costs anything.
All right. What is the need, I guess, especially kind of in the modern day? You referenced tablets and phones and this kind of thing. What is the need for this kind of a program? Like, what's the benefit and who's your primary audience for that?
Well, my primary audience would be any parent, any grandparent, any caretaker of a child, and maybe you're just looking for a way to spend some fun time together, maybe that doesn't cost a lot of money. And then the benefit is with the book, you're adding literacy. So you're adding literacy, quality time, all these things have been sort of set aside in our culture. We have the technology takeover with phones and TV, and it seems like that's the only thing a child can think to do is they just want to get on their device. And so bringing back some of the past of what are some other things we used to do before that, take a walk in nature, or just play a game, a silly game together, or get out some arts and crafts, and who knows what we'll dream up next. But we always have some fun ideas. And Rebecca is very artistic, so she thinks a lot of those ideas. I'm very creative. That's the fun of it for me, is just coming up with something creative that kids could do with that person that cares about them.
Yeah, I guess the other nice thing about reading is, at least in a lot of environments, you would ha also have sort of a physical closeness to the child, as you're reading, if the child's sitting on your lap or something like that, which I guess brings up a question I have about, is there a recommended way to do the read? I mean, do you want the child to read to you? Do you want to read to the child? Do a mix?
Sometimes, if they're really little, like 2 years old, I would read to my kids and they're just running around the room, and maybe they would stop for 10 seconds, look at the picture. But just kind of making that part of your life, making books something special. Bedtime is great for reading, getting a longer book and doing a couple chapters a night. I know my niece, Emily, she has three little kids. One of them is 9, so she was reading Soledad aloud to her daughter, and then the other two would kind of be in and out and in and out. But I think establishing that as something that's normal, like we're going to sit down, we're going to read a chapter together, and then kids start to look forward to it. Same with Mouse's Christmas Gift. It's a wonderful read aloud on Christmas Eve or any time during the Christmas season. I've seen a lot of parents, they wrap up even books that they already have, one book a night. And so the kid gets to open up, what book is it tonight? And, that leads to, let's read the one from last night too. So just trying to make reading fun, not a chore. And, following kind of the needs of your own family. If it just isn't working, letting it go for the night, not forcing it on kids, but trying to make it that enjoyable connection experience that it can be.
You mentioned your Christmas book, Mouse's Christmas Gift. So just kind of using that as our first example of the disgust situation. So that's a picture book. It's for a much younger audience. Maybe tell us real quick about that. And then even with a book like that, what might you wind up discussing that you think really adds value to the relationship with kids?
Sure. Well, in Mouse's Christmas Gift, there's a little, the pastor is sick. And so the Christmas Eve service is going to be canceled. So Mouse lights a window, or lights a window, lights a candle in the window, and that leads to a chain reaction in the village. So when a little boy sees the candle and he puts a wreath on the door of the church, and then someone sees him doing that, so they start to decorate the tree, and then the widow bakes the bread, and the blacksmith puts the star on the top. So one lesson from that is that everyone has something that they can do, something special that they can do to make a difference. And even the idea that someone small, like a mouse, he took the initiative, he made a difference by lighting the candle. So talking to children about how they can be a light, how they can make a difference, what can they do with the talents that God has given them. So I think there's many lessons. I have a free download that has three different stations, you might call it, or three different lessons that you could talk through. One is be a light, one is the body of Christ, and then I think the other one is the gospel message, using the book for all three of those ideas. But just in a casual way, as you're reading the story, even one of my coworkers said they're children picked up that Mouse worked hard to get the job done. It's just one little line in the story. But every time they're picking up their toys, they're saying, "We're working hard like Mouse to get the job done." So it's just kind of cute how little things like that about a book can model something, model a value, or something that you want your kids to emulate. Just trying to put that question to the child right there, as you're reading it with them, asking, what was the main character doing? Why was he doing that? Why is that something that you would want to do? Or do you have an experience like that? If the main character is struggling in friendship, trying to apply that to the child's personal life. Have you ever felt that way? What would you do in that situation? Or if there's a character that's being kind, giving, sharing, work, forgiving, whatever the main character is doing that is something positive, trying to bring that back to a personal application with the child. Say, how could you do the same thing that the main character is doing?
And that's the do part, just trying to get the kids to do those kinds of things in
Yeah.
your read
And the
discuss
do,
too.
I think in read, discuss, do, the do is usually just bringing it out to a fun activity. So if the story is about horses, well, let's go to a place where we could interact with a horse. Or if the story is about some kind of animal, get your stuffed animals out and let's make a house for it. Or let's do a fun craft that's a unicorn because the story has a unicorn in it. And then that part is just spending time together.
All right, great. So let's pivot back to Soledad then. You mentioned one of the things Chicken Scratch really is using the book for is to teach the value of determination. So maybe talk a little bit, especially if you were going to use Soledad with a rediscuss to you kind of a model, maybe talk through what you might do with that if you were a parent with a middle schooler.
Right. Well, Soledad is a character that doesn't give up, even when she encounters extremely difficult situations. So I think I would just try to bring up and asking them, what are some situations that were really difficult for Soledad? And why would she have been tempted to give up? And why do you think she didn't? And then I would ask them, what is a situation in your life where you're tempted to give up, where maybe life is really hard and maybe it's a math class, or maybe it's a friendship situation. And then how can you, I guess, be like Soledad and not give up? What's one small step that you can take to keep going? Or if you're a faith-based family, how can God help you to be determined to keep going? What are ways that we can pray about that and ask God for help so that we don't give up?
Are there any specific faith-based themes or Christian themes in the Soledad book itself?
Well, I think so. I mean, forgiveness for one. is definitely a part of it. Soledad has to forgive her mom. She has to forgive her friend Marco. He betrays her pretty severely in the story. And then I think she's trying to forgive herself for running away and leaving her sister behind. Something happens to her sister. She blames herself. There's forgiveness in the fact that Rosalia, her sister, needs to forgive Soledad. So the process of forgiveness is modeled in all different directions. And also with Rosalia, one of the parts with her forgiving Soledad, there's a scene where Soledad wants Rosalia to forgive her, and Rosalia's response is, "I already did, even before you asked." And I think that's something that the Bible does teach. Being a person that is willing to forgive doesn't mean that we're saying what was done to us was okay or right, but it's freeing ourselves from the bitterness and from letting those hurts weigh us down. So I think that is definitely modeled in this book, but not in a preachy way.
And I can see, especially if you're reading this book in the read, discuss, do kind of idea, how that kind of discussion could very naturally evolve if they're seeing Soledad struggling with Rosalia and that reaction. That might not have been the reaction that most kids would think they were going to get. So I suppose you have a lot of that. And you did say that there were, curriculum items that go along with Soledad. Is that one of the kinds of discussion topics that you go into there?
Well, I think with the Explorer course, what they do is they lay out like different topics and then like the plot or the agency. And then they ask the child to identify a scene that would make them think of that particular thing. So as you bring up the scenes, yes, that's a really good example of that. I also think of this scene. And then I think just talking at a deeper level about the scenes, it will definitely bring all those topics up.
If you had a parent coming to you saying, "Hey, this sounds great. I've got a middle schooler. I want to get them to be able to sit and read. Soledad sounds like a great book." Do you have any advice if they're saying, "I seem to have a hard time getting my child to sit and read. Like, how could I get them to really enjoy that kind of experience with Soledad or any other middle school book?"
I mean, I think especially in terms if there's some vocabulary that they're unable to tackle on their own, reading side by side, start with a small amount. I read a page and you read a page, or I read a paragraph and then you read a paragraph. Some way that kind of breaks it into smaller chunks so it doesn't seem like we're going to sit down and read this entire book tonight. So good luck. But whatever amount that your child can tolerate, and hopefully the plot that it ends on a note where you want to find out what's next, that will lead them to wanting to read more. So I think reading together is great for even in those ages. And if they're getting weary of trying to sound out the words, just giving them a break and say, "Why don't I read that part?" Kind of putting your finger under the words as you go along, really showing them where you're at in the story. Anytime you can put a funny sound effect in or a funny voice with it, or even saying, "Let's act this out," that could be fun, or anything like that to help them see it as something fun. It's not a punishment. The worst thing I think you could do is say, "You have to sit here." If it's breaking down and it's just not working, giving them a little break and saying, "That's okay."
All right, great. First of all, if people want to find out more about you, you as an author, you in any of your endeavors, where would you like them to go for that information?
Sure. The best place to find me is my website, mindybakerbooks.com. And even on my website, I have a place that opens up, "Where can you find me on the web?" And it's a link tree of all different links, places where I blog, places, all of my social media. The social media I'm most active on is Instagram. And in the bio of that is also the same, "Where can you find me on the web?" There's entry points for my mini magazine, both on the Instagram and on my website. So I think that would be the place I would direct you.
And then what about if they want to purchase Soledad? Are there better places to go, or just Amazon, or what?
Sure, it's sold anywhere books are sold. It's available. Of course, people normally gravitate towards Amazon. The only place the Explorer course is available is on the Chicken Scratch website. And I know right now, if you buy the book and the Explorer course, you get a 15% discount. I don't know how long that'll last. So the Explorer course would only be at chickenscratchbooks.com, but the book itself is available anywhere books are sold.
And then you mentioned Substack for your Rediscuss Do. For folks who might not be as familiar, how do they access Substack? What is that about?
It's an app. It's a social media platform, just like Facebook or Instagram or any others, but it tends to be more for readers. So kind of like, if you're familiar with Goodreads and you're getting all the reviews, well, Substack is kind of more like blogging or posting little things that readers would enjoy. And so you just get the app and hop on and you'll find us.
Well, Mindy, it's been great having you back on the show again. It's not so nice to see that your writing continues to grow. And I guess I should also mention, if they want to get Mouse's Christmas gift, what's their best place to get that book?
The best place would be Amazon or Christian Book Distributors. So those are the, I think it's still available wherever books are sold, but those two places seem to be easiest to find for people.
All right, well, great. It has been so great having you back on the show. Thanks for coming back on.
I really appreciate it, Tony. Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. Again, we've been speaking with Mindy Baker about her book, Soledad and the Curse of the Phoenix, and also about the read, discuss, do method of reading with your kids to teach them values. This is again Anthony Barone Colenc. If you would like me to come speak to your school or homeschool group, or do you just want to learn more about my books, definitely check out my website, antonycolank.com. But until next time, may God bless us as we rely on our faith to work through the messy challenges of our lives.